This is NEPM's Valley Voices Summer Shorts podcast. I'm Angela Combest from Florence, Massachusetts, and this is my story, Messy Desks. You know, the thing that I love best about storytelling is the ability to connect with people that you don't know or you don't know very well. I told my story at an open mic a few weeks before I told it at the Shea Theater, and another storyteller came up to me with his fist on his chest and he said, "You and I, we had the same dad."
A few months ago, my boss and I are working late, and she asks me for a document that she knows I have. So I get up from the conference table, and I walk into the next room where my office is, and I stand in front of my desk looking at the piles of paper. I am the keeper of a messy desk. I always have been. And I'm pretty sure I always will be. So I start sorting through the doom piles, knowing that it's there. I know it's there. But what I don't know is that my boss has followed me into the room, and she's standing behind me. And when I realize that, the back of my neck starts to get prickly and red. I can feel the blood pumping. My ears get hot. And it's a feeling that I've had before. It's a feeling of deja vu. It's a feeling of elementary school. When I was in fourth grade, I told anyone who would listen that I had to be in Mr. Boyle's fifth grade homeroom. Mr. Boyle was so cool. He had developed an entire curriculum for fifth grade that was based on Broadway musicals, and I thought that was amazing. He did this thing where once a year he would keep his whole classroom back and they wouldn't go down to the cafeteria, and together they would cook an international meal. Mr. Boyle would go down to Philadelphia every week and fill his car with fruit. And he would bring that fruit back, and fifth graders would pull it through the halls of the elementary school, selling the oranges and apples for a dime each. And every single one of those dimes went to pay for a field trip to New York City to see a Broadway show. I had to be in Mr. Boyle's class. And I have another confession, and that is, I had a crush on Mr. Boyle. Mr. Boyle had a really cool beard, and he wore really cool corduroys, and you could see his chest hair peeking out over the top of his sweater. I had had other crushes before, Donny Osmond, and then Jay Osmond, and then one of the Bayo cousins, not the one that's gone rogue, the other one who was really cute. But there was no way I was actually going to be in Mr. Boyle's class, because in my elementary school, Miss Jonas had a class of boys and girls. Mrs. Adams had a fifth grade class of only girls. And that meant Mr. Boyle had a fifth grade class of only boys. But that didn't stop me from wanting what I wanted. So we get to the end of the summer between fourth and fifth grade. Word gets out that the school has put up the lists of homerooms. And so a bunch of us get together and we walk down to the school, and one by one, kids walk up and they look in the window and they learn their fate. And when it's my time, I walk up and I put my hands on the glass and I press my nose up against the glass and I decide I'm going to read the list of Mr. Boyle's class first so that I can learn who the boys are who are going to get what I want. Adam, Andrew, Angela. My name is on the list, and I quickly look and I see that there are other girls too. For the first time ever, Mr. Boyle has boys and girls in his class, and I am going to be in that class, and I am so excited. School starts, and it is everything I hope for. Everything Mr. Boyle does is fun and cool, and it just speaks to the parts of my brain that fire. I remember, you know, we had one of those normal spelling kind of quiz things where you have your 20 words and you have to use each one in a sentence. And I decided as a budding women's libber that I was going to make every one of my sentences about women power. And Mr. Boyle just giggled and laughed and he enjoyed it. So we just clicked. few months later into school, it's parents' night, and my parents come, and we go into the classroom, and we walk over to my desk, and my classroom had two kinds of desks. There were the kind where it kind of lifted up like a car hood, where you lifted it up, threw your stuff in, and closed it. Then there were the really old school ones that were open in the back, and you just shoved things into the desk hole, never to be found again. I had a desk hole desk. And for somebody who's not good at keeping a good desk, that was really a problem. We walk over, and my father takes one look, and he said, "You need to clean that desk." And he didn't mean tomorrow before school started, and he didn't mean tomorrow at lunchtime or at recess or after school. He meant right then and there. Because for my father, cruelty was often the point. And so in front of my classmates, in front of their parents, and worst of all, in front of Mr. Boyle, my dad dumps the contents of my desk onto the floor. And I have to start cleaning it up. And I get down on my hands and knees. I try to keep the tears in my eyes. And I feel the red prickly heat going up the back of my neck. I feel my ears get hot. When I turn to my boss, who is standing behind me waiting for the piece of paper that I had to search for on my desk, I hand it to her sheepishly. And she says to me, "Angela, you know, I heard something recently, that people who keep messy desks are often the most creative ones. And I'm going to hold that for you." And I just wish somebody had said that to me 45 years earlier. Thank you.
That was Angela Combest musing on messy desks last year at NEPM's Elementary Story Slam. I'm Katie Wright. I produce the Valley Voices podcasts. Be part of the in crowd. Join the Valley Storytelling Community Facebook group. That's where you can watch our stories on YouTube, find information on other area storytelling events, and get updates on our upcoming Valley Voices Story Slam season. Meanwhile, see you next week for the next episode in NEPM's Summer Shorts podcast series.